You're listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and this is the Save the Marriage podcast, and today is a little bit different. I will get to some teaching in a little bit, but first, I just want to kind of mark an occasion, and there are actually two occasions that are coming almost side by side. When this releases, it will be the day before my birthday, and it will also be the beginning of spring, and so all these things are kind of all at the same time, right? We're stepping into a new season, a transition season, if you will, when things go from, you know, kind of looking like everything's gone away, everything's dead, even though in the background, underneath it all, it's been coming back to life, and now it starts bursting forth, and depending on where you are, it has already burst forth or is coming your way as spring kind of shows itself, new life begins to show. And it's one of the things I've talked about in marriage is sometimes when you go, oh man, we're at the end, you're really at a hibernation period where, you know, it's storing up the resources and ready to come back to life. And so now looking at that spring event coming, there are a couple of other things that I'll always remember. I was a spring baby. And so here I am looking tomorrow at my 58th revolution around the sun, 58th trip around the sun. And, you know, what I've said many times is that I've been in this period of time where it's another birthday. You know, when you're a kid, man, you're looking forward to your birthday, you're looking forward to celebration. And then as you go on, you're like, okay, another year, another year. And then I know that there's this other period of time when you start celebrating again because you've made it another year, right? You've gotten to another year. And I feel myself moving in that direction. Over the past while, I've seen a lot of losses, a lot of colleagues that have died, a lot of people in my realm that have died or are, you know, in the midst of a health crisis. And so that makes it all more precious to me that here we are looking at these trips around the sun that just, you know, not everybody has that chance. And, you know, I can feel some age. I can feel the fact that my recoveries take a little bit longer than they used to. When I exercise, I feel it a little bit more in my body. I've got some joints that I can't quite get to work the way I want them to. There's still some soreness there. Overall, though, you know, I am glad to be here. If you follow me at all, you know that I had a health crisis back in my 30s, mid-30s. And I wasn't sure I was going to get a lot more time. I wasn't sure what that time would even be like. And so I've always said that this time has been has been kind of the bonus time. And to make the quality of it matter, it's the bonus time of my life. And so 58 comes tomorrow as you're listening to this, or at least as this is released. But there's another big thing about this podcast. This marks the 500th episode of the Save the Marriage podcast, 500th episode. I put the first one out on August 7th of 2013, August 7th of 2013. So more than a decade now we've been doing this. And so, you know, just kind of in context, it kind of blows my mind. I just looked it up. Over 5,250,000 people or downloads. So some people tell me they've listened to all of it. So thank you for that if that's you. But 5,250,000 downloads of this podcast, which one, blows my mind. Two, tells me how much A, marriage matters, and B, how many people are looking for help. And so first, you know, pat yourself on the back for actually taking action and really trying to pull through, because many people don't, right? You're listening to this because this matters to you, and you're listening to this because you want something in your marriage that maybe is not there and maybe has never been there. But you're here, you're showing up. And so I want you to pat yourself on the back. And second, I'm just kind of a milestone for me of 500 episodes. I remember when I was doing the first episode, people were like, well, how many are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. You know, I've got things to say. I didn't know I would have that much to say. And here we are 500 episodes later. There have been some bonuses in there. So over 500, but 500 episodes have been out. This is number 500. And here we are still going strong, being listened to really around the world. And I'm humbled by that. When people say, you know, I've listened to so many of your episodes, it just kind of blows me away. But you know, this dates back really three decades. Now, when I started writing on marriage, I was 33. That's when I put the first thing out on marriage, 33. That seems so far back now. 25 years ago was when I first put a website up. And you know, if you want to think back, there was no Google back then. there was no Google. You know, think about where Apple was at that point. Really think about where the internet was at that point. And I put a website up wondering maybe that's a good way of getting information out. I was brand new trying to figure all of that out. And here we are. So three decades, though, is also the time I've been working with marriages. I started that at the beginning of my career and have followed it up, you know, still doing that work. And, you know, one of the things that has impressed upon me is how important marriage is. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some other lessons I learned along the way. But it just points that to me that, you know, I haven't, as I've said long ago when I started this process, I haven't put myself out of business. That's my task. That's my job, is to put myself out of business, to make sure that I'm not needed, right? I don't need to be here because people know how to do marriage. And unfortunately, that's not the case. Many people are lost, scrambling around, trying to figure out what the heck happened when they said, I do. Some people have asked me, how did you even get into this? Why are you so passionate about this? And I'll tell you that it dates back to my childhood, not my immediate family. My parents are still happily married, and we moved to be closer to them. And so I get to see them on a regular basis, and they still are a team. They are still what I talk about being a we, of being in this together, of supporting each other. And so I had that as a model, and my grandparents also were happily married, with the exception of one aunt and uncle, the others did not. I have one uncle that was married a number of times. I'm not even exactly sure of the count. His first marriage created what I knew to be my cousins, and then the marriage kind of tore the family apart. And I have cousins, I don't even know where they are. And on the other side, I had an aunt that was married several times, another aunt that I think was married several times. I'm not sure, because she also cut off the family, and I lost touch with those cousins too. And what I really watched was the multi-generational impact of divorce. And, you know, so here I have watched it multiple times, never turning out well. Many people tell me how, you know, it'll be okay after a divorce. My observation is that that's really the case, that there is damage done no matter how you do it. There are ways to lessen the damage, but there's no way to eliminate the damage. And I watched my grandparents just decimated watching their kids suffer through it. I watched my aunts and uncle just decimated by the pain of divorce. I watched my cousins and then watched them disappear as the process got so acrimonious. And I know that it also had an impact on their kids and how they processed what marriage was about. That's four generations, at least four. At least three generations that are immediately impacted, a fourth that is indirectly impacted, and my guess is it marches on down generation after generation. And so it matters, right? This work matters that you're thinking about, that you're working on. And that's where it all started for me. Those seeds were planted of why did that happen? You know, why is it that I saw some marriages work out, my parents' marriage, my grandparents' marriage? Why did they work? Why did these others not work? And so that began to be a process for me of thinking through what was going on. So when I got to school, during college, I realized I wanted to do therapy, to be a therapist. And so I prepped prepped to go to grad school. I went to grad school, spent another two masters and a PhD getting prepared, doing clinical work. While I was trained as kind of a general therapist, as most therapists are, I put myself through and sought out help that would help me understand marriages and families, the systems of those, how that's different than individual therapy. And I remember in going to supervision, which is what happens when you're a therapist, when you're learning to be a therapist, you are supervised by a seasoned therapist who has training as a supervisor. And I kept being frustrated because I would see a couple and no matter what I was doing with them, things weren't getting better. And the feedback in supervision was, you need to do this. And I would do that and it wouldn't work. And so, you know, finally the question was, what are you doing wrong? And then I started looking at the statistics and I realized it wasn't me. It was the approach we were using. And I started looking at my supervisors and how many of them had not managed to have successful marriages either. And I started looking around and realizing that I was kind of in this trance of training that wasn't really preparing me. And so I went on my own search for what would help, because surely there are things that would help marriage, and there are. Some of them are just mindset shifts and understandings that you have to have. Some of them are ways of approaching problems and trying to figure it out. And I began to put those together, and that's what happened, and that's why I started writing so early in my 30s, because I realized that something has to be different. Where's that led? Well, since then, I've created the Save the Marriage System. Since then, I've written several books on relationships. I've written several books on how to thrive in life. I've written a number of other programs, created programs like the Husband Boot Camp. And I created, at one point, I had the Transform Your Marriage program that was another coaching program that has I didn't like the quality of it, put that away, picked up some other things, created some other programs, my VIP program. We've included coaching. I have been interviewed on TV shows and on other podcasts and have had lots of opportunity to talk about this, to think about this, to do coaching on this. And that's where it led, right? I realized that therapy had some problems and coaching freed me up to track down other processes. And so here we are, 500 episodes in. And if you're wondering, you're like, oh, wow, he has that much to say about marriage. Well, I'll give you a little hint. There are almost 400 trainings that are much more extensive trainings that I have in VIP. So I said those two. And then there are these other programs that I've created and the books that I've written. And guess what? It turns out I have a good bit to say about this topic. And my passion is because of what I saw as a child. And my passion is because I've watched couple after couple around the world transformed through the trainings, through my books, through my system, through the coaching, to have wonderful marriages. And that's what gets me up in the morning, to keep that process going and to keep working on that. And so part of what I've tried to do is help people to figure out how to get there. Sometimes I've answered your questions, right? Sometimes I've had guests on. Sometimes it's just been me talking about maybe what has come out of a coaching session or research I've done or, you know, some other thought I've had about this. So recently I had someone who actually had done a little research into me and said, okay, you're coming up on a birthday, you know, after this long, what have you learned about life and about relationships? And so what would you have as your big points? And so I have five that I want to share with you. And the first one is what has become a recurring theme in research in recent years on longevity, happiness, meaning in life, purpose in life, all of that. And that is this: relationships matter. When we look around the world and we do research on why do people live long and live well, why are people satisfied in life? It is because of the relationships they have. It's not about a multitude of wealth that they have or even necessarily their health. It is the relationships they have. Now, do the other things matter? Sure, but not as much as the primary piece of our relationship, and that, or of our life, and that is relationships. that really should not be a surprise. We humans are social creatures, right? We are born into families. We relate all of our lives and compare ourselves all of our lives and connect with people all of our lives. And then we have this thing, marriage, which is kind of the linchpin for many adults, their linchpin relationship, the person they can count on, the person who's in the trenches with them when it's tough and lying on the beach when it's not. And those ways that we think about that relationship tell me one central thing. Relationships matter, and the deepest relationships matter the most. And where do we have that opportunity for that deepest relationship? Marriage. That's why I find it to be so important. And it's not just about can we avoid a divorce. It's can we have a truly soul-satisfying marriage, a relationship where you know this person is on your side and you're on their side and you have each other's back and front and you know everything in between and you're there for each other. Relationships matter. Number one lesson, relationships matter. Number two, after this long, my wife and I have been married now. We've surpassed 35 years. And what I've realized is love evolves. And that is sometimes troublesome for people because they think love is lost. And really, love evolves over time. And that is true 100% of the time for 100% of the people who figure out how to make it through. Love evolves. The love you have at the beginning of a relationship changes over time and changes with the struggles and changes with the celebration and changes with the stories you have and how you stand beside each other and how you work through the difficult times. Remember your vows. Your vows were not just to be together when you're passionate about each other and when things are good. Your vows, if they were like mine, your vows were to be together through good days and bad days, through sick days and healthy days, through rich days and poor days. There's not a lot of days left, right? And along the way, love evolves. What you expect may get you in trouble. As I've talked about, expectations can sometimes lead us into dangerous spots. But your love evolves. And part of what you're trying to do is evolve it in deeper and better ways over time. Number three thing is that life should be simple, not easy. Simple, not easy. In fact, whenever I hear people talking about, give me the easy answer, life isn't easy. Life is a struggle all the time. I mean, your body is struggling against all of these forces all of the time. It's fighting back illness, and it's fighting back disease, and it's fighting back, all these different challenges to it. And guess what? We as humans try so hard to find the easy that we miss the fact that the challenge is what makes us strong. Now, that doesn't mean we need to be challenged all the time. It just means that challenge is part of life. And part of what we're trying to do is figure out the simpler approach to things. You know, when we watch where society gets into trouble, it's usually when we complicate things. That is true in our finances. It's true in what we eat. It's true in how we exercise. It's true in all areas of life, including relationships, that the more complicated we make them, the more likelihood they are to hit a problem. The more simple they are, the easier it is to move forward. So life and relationships and marriage should be simple. That doesn't mean easy. Don't confuse those two. When I often talk about, this is the simple approach to saving your marriage, I take it down to some very basic levels. That doesn't mean it's easy. And if you're in trouble, right, if you're working back, it's certainly not easy. When people say, oh, this must not be the right relationship because we're having to work at it, my response is you have missed the whole idea of life. Life is working at things because it matters. Not that there's no work to it, but life is working at things because it matters. Taking on challenges because it matters. Now, you don't hear me say simple and hard. I just said simple, not easy. Let's find the direct route and let's see if we can make it as simple and as easy as possible. Just don't think of it as being all easy. This is a challenge. Every good thing in life truly is. So simple, not easy. Number four, that everywhere in life, conflict should serve a purpose, right? so many times now I'm watching just the world is in these points of conflict that really have no purpose. They're just emotive moments for people and angry moments of people that aren't moving us towards anything better. If there is conflict, it should serve to better things. In a marriage, if you have conflict, that conflict should serve the marriage by making it better, by finding a better way forward, by finding more strength in that, by figuring out how to pull together in different ways. So conflict isn't this evil thing. At least it doesn't have to be. It should serve a purpose of making things better. That's true in everyday life. You know, if you're in a struggle, a conflict somewhere, ask the question, where does this move us to a better place? Not how can I defend my position and win my point, but how does it serve us to move to a better place? And the last thing is the big lesson, be a team. Now, be a team is certainly true in the marriage, but can we extend that into all of our areas, right? Our extended family, our community, our country, our world, to say, this is a team. We're up against some challenges. Can we be a team? But let's start with a marriage. Marriages work best when you become a team, when you become a we, as I talk about it. We are in this together. Families work better when you say we're a team. Communities work better when we say we're a team. Countries work better when we say we're a team. The world would work better if we were to say we're a team. Let's figure out how to tackle the challenges along the way, whatever they are, global or in your relationship, and find a way of moving forward. Be a team. If you're a team, you use conflict to serve. If you're a team, you know the simple approach. If you're a team, you know that love evolves. If you're a team, you know relationships matter because every team is made up of relationships. So that's what I've learned in these kind of 58 turns, other things too, but those breaks give you five things, 58 trips around the sun, 500 episodes, blows me away. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the effort you're putting in, and know that I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.